Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, depending on where you are. It's still morning out on the West Coast, and here on the East Coast, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess with the Higher Dimensions. And I'm sorry for the delay, but it's just one of those things. When you make changes, stuff happens. I'd like to welcome today a fellow hostess from the BBS radio station, Nancy Wallace. Nancy, good afternoon.
Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Fine. I am so glad, my dear, that you are available and here to talk to us. And we got more time than usual today. And I think given what you do and what we'd like to do, I think we can carry through.
I think we can do just fine.
Since I don't know how many people listen to your show have been on my show, introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I am a psychic tarot card reader. I also do remote viewing. I have written my autobiography called Raised by Angels, which is actually a self-help book for anybody who gets it based on what I had to go through,
mm-hmm.
but helping everybody get through their life in this lifetime. So
mm-hmm.
it's pretty interesting. I also put together, I'm the founder of a 501c called A Child's Miracle Mind,
mm-hmm.
which is actually designed to get these kids that have been labeled or diagnosed, whatever word you choose,
mm-hmm.
with ADD, ADHD,
mm-hmm.
and given out all these prescription drugs to get off those drugs, especially because most of them don't need it, and
yes.
using the metaphysical techniques that we all know and have in us in order to do that. And then that's going to be turned into what's called the School of Now, which
mm-hmm.
is a different school system, so that these kids are slipping through the cracks because of them being, you know, super sensitive, over-intelligent,
mm-hmm.
told they can't focus, can
mm-hmm.
all get into a place like this.
Excellent.
Be really good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, tell me a little bit about your book and about your background.
Well, my book is, like I said, about my life. It starts off when I was 6 years old and had a very freak accident where I landed with my head and neck under my back. So by all practical purposes, I should either be dead or paralyzed, and I am neither one.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to me is I heard this beautiful, beautiful voice talking to me the entire time. So it's my angel.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice kept saying to me, you know a lot of things now, Nancy. You can't use them yet. We'll let you know when.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that's kind of strange. As I'm waking up, I mean, I don't know how long I laid there. My brothers were afraid to touch me because I'm sure they thought I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But when they rolled me over, my head just kind of bobbled up. And I said, oh, hi, guys. And was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really funny is when I was waking up and I could hear this voice, which was very, very pretty. And I wasn't afraid of anything. And I thought, you know, I'm fine. But when I opened my eyes, I was looking at the ground and I knew I was laying on my back. And I thought, well, this is kind of a neat trick. I'm not feeling anything. This must be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, again, I wasn't afraid because this voice kept telling me, you're okay, Nancy. You know a lot of things now. You can't use it yet. We'll let you know when. Well, that voice has been with me ever since, and a few more have joined in to help me get through everything and actually saved my life several times from other freaky accidents that's gone on. So my book is basically about what I have gone through. There's also a story there that encounters regression, not necessarily because I wanted to do it, but just something that had to be done, and I was forced into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I find out about other lifetimes that I was with all of the people that are in this lifetime now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was weird, but the book explains all of that. And then in the book, at the very end of it, it has a whole page of positive affirmations for people that they could be saying and using to help them get through things. Like right now, everybody's kind of worried about money. So instead of being worried in a negative way, it would be real important if we could worry in a positive way. Of course, we're not taught how to do that.
Okay, how do we worry in a positive way?
You change the negative words and negative thoughts to positive words, positive thoughts. For example, instead of going, oh my God, I don't have any money. Oh, I can't pay my bills. Oh, I can't. Whatever you're putting out there, is exactly what you're going to get back. So
right.
you're putting out, you can't. Believe me, you can't. So instead, put out, what am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have, even if you don't have it? Because if you can start saying it and start believing it, it
mm-hmm.
will then get to you. You know, so those are some of the things that's like kind of in my book. It's neat. Okay. There's pictures in there, all colored pictures, you know, which makes the book a little bit more interesting.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. But what if you've done that for a period of time and things don't seem to change?
Here's the thing with the positive thoughts. Again, because we're not programmed to think positive, you know, depending on how old you are, it's not going to happen overnight. And I know everybody wants instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But say, for example, it took me 60 years to get to where I'm at. You know, is it going to take me overnight to rework all of those things? No, it isn't. But you do have to keep trying it, and you do have to start believing it, because if you can't believe it, it's not going to work. There's that word can't. If you can't believe it, it's not going to work. Now, there are many people out there who talk about The Secret. I don't necessarily agree with The Secret, only because that's like extreme. Which means they're telling you that everything you have done, you have created yourself. This is what you have done, you've done, you've done. And, you know, maybe they're right. However,
To a certain extent.
Well, but however, our minds are not designed to think that, you know, we did this to ourselves.
Right, exactly.
And so they're talking about taking a whole lifetime of what you have known and change it around to fit what they know.
Right.
You know, and they came here kind of being pretty much in life.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a big difference with people, okay?
Okay, can you hold on 1 second, dear heart?
Sure.
I don't mean to do this. Pat, would you grab that, please? Pat!
Gotta do what we gotta do.
Grab it! I'm sorry, I had an accident today, and that may be AAA calling. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you.
That's okay. You know, so it's very hard for people to change the way that they have been raised and the way they have been taught to think. You know, and we're here to try to help people to understand that they really can change it. It does take a little bit of time. So if you give up only after a couple of days, you really haven't given it a chance. You know, you haven't given it a chance because, again, you have years and years of programming to kind of compensate and delete from your mind. Because the way the mind works is every time there's a negative thought going on, we usually follow that. But if we have a positive thought, like with our intuition, we question it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we question it, we throw it back up to our logic mind, which our logic mind cannot, you know, put all that together because logic is logic. They have to see the pieces fit. Everything has to be where it needs to be, or it's not logical.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that we talk about now, we tell people about, it truly isn't really logical according to what we know, but it's totally logical if we would just allow ourselves to let that knowledge that we already have within us just come through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people have a hard time. Again, because they are not used to listening to their gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they'll get a gut feeling when they're shopping like they shouldn't walk into the store, but they just pass off such as nothing. Maybe it's gas. Okay? And they walk in and something kind of bad may happen or they may lose money or, you know, they may purchase something and later regret that they purchased it because it may be ripped and they can't return it or something. You know, so there's many reasons why instead of listening to your logic mind, people really need to listen to their intuitive part. I call it the heart smart part.
Yes.
And it's hard. It's very hard for people to do that. You know, we're living in a strange world with a lot of strange energies all around us. And a lot of different feelings, a lot of different emotions. And the majority of people, unless they've been practicing, you know, being enlightened and trusting their gut feeling, have a horrible, horrible time right now with it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the kids. Now, the kids, on the other hand, if you start kids by always thinking positive to begin with, they will get everything that they want. They may not get it that instant, but they will get it because they're already putting out that energy and it's already in a positive frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
well,
different.
Can you run into a situation where if you're positive for days and weeks and things still seem to be turning up and you've checked and there are no blocks, there's, you know, that you've been dealing with this and things just continually seem to fall apart instead of coming through?
Yes, sometimes it happens, but the majority of the reasons why it happens is even though we are saying these things and we hear ourselves saying them, we're not necessarily believing them. And we think we are because that's the way we fool ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So So what happens is the first day that you try it, you don't get anything. Oh, well, okay, I'm going to try it again. And then you try it for another day, another week, another 2 weeks, and then nothing's happened. It's like, oh, well, I knew it wasn't going to happen anyway. Now, did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
I knew it wasn't going to happen anyway.
Okay, let's revise that and say something doesn't happen and you are surprised that it doesn't happen because you believe that it was actually going to happen. And you were planning on it and you were building things around it and it just all of a sudden came unraveled.
What you need to do is just tie back up just a couple of spaces, a couple of steps, and ask yourself why you don't think you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people have positive energy, but there's a part of them, because of the way we've been raised or our beliefs or whatever, you know, think that we don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we think any part of don't or can't or won't or no, then we have negated that positive energy that we have now started, excuse me, to put out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this isn't an overnight quick fix or mm-hmm. even sometimes a week quick fix. You're also dealing with other people's willpower, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're moving into that
okay.
area. Okay,
thank
because, you.
You
know, I've worked with some of this myself for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go along, and all of a sudden, it's like the rug is pulled out from under me, and I'm left saying, well, wait a minute, that's not what's supposed to have happened. It was supposed to have been the other way. And I'm left scratching my head saying, what the Sam Hill happened?
But see, again, you're probably dealing with other people's willpower. And you have to remember that if you're going to do positive things,
mm-hmm.
it is for yourself. And you have to do it for yourself. Not that you can't wish other people positive, because you can and you should.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want something, you cannot really let other people tear it down or come in and kind of destroy it for you. For example, you have a job, all right, that you can't stand. And it isn't really paying you the money that you think that you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
So got that scenario? So you think that you're going to go look for another job. Here's the scenario. Logically, your conscious mind is going to go, well, I have this job, even though I don't like it and it's not paying me enough, at least I have a job. And today's time, it's really hard to get another job once you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You follow the scenario?
Yeah.
So then you find out that there's this job available, but so does 50 other people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And everybody's going to go apply for this job because, hey, this is the dream job. This is going to pay me the money I want. This is going to give me everything I want. And you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to get this, and this is mine, and this is mine. And then just before you go in there, you ask yourself, whether it's conscious or unconscious, do I really deserve this job, or am I good enough, or do I really think I'm going to get this job?
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you start putting those questions in front of you, you've taken away a lot of that negativity. You may
mm-hmm.
talk to somebody while you're waiting for this job.
Okay,
that
okay.
sounds like they have so much better qualities than you do, and so much smarter than you. You're then going to sit there, and you're going to start to self-doubt.
Okay.
You self-doubt. You've also slowed it down, or maybe
I'm broadcasting.
And that's kind of why things don't happen.
Okay.
So you're
okay.
That you've done it and done it and done it. You need to
look. Okay. I'm sorry.
there's
an apology. The AAA was here earlier than they should have been to move my car, so I'm sorry if we got a little distracted. I do apologize to you and my listeners.
That's all right.
Yes, I can understand that too. But sometimes it seems as though you're forced into a different situation than you would want to. I've heard people do this. I mean, they really make every effort. They do a lot of releasing, etc. What you're still coming back to is we're all basically responsible if things don't work out for us.
Well, yeah, because you allow them to get away, or you allow them to go away, or you believe that you can't have them.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about when I talk about the secrets, I'm talking about how they sit there and they say the little bitty baby that comes into life and dies right away. You know, everybody's wondering, well, how could this little bitty baby have done anything?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's never going to be shown or proven because that little bitty baby died.
Yes.
Now, maybe they had a contract with an agreement in some other lifetime said they were only going to come here to make, you know, whatever they need to make.
Exactly. Well, just as a brief time for the sake of the parents.
Right. Which, and all of those things are true. Okay? But the basic knowledge of this secret is that the normal, everyday people have a very hard time believing that they themselves could have caused any of it. Not all of it, but any of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or things are so horrible, okay, that they caused it. I'll give you a perfect scenario with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the way to do a job. I do like what they call lock-ins for high school kids when they have this big party.
Mm-hmm.
And I take bunches of psychics with me because there's like 600 kids and we're going to read them in 4 hours. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very hectic thing. All right? On my way there, at that time I was not wearing a seatbelt. When I got into my car, instead of hearing my nice, sweet voice, I heard in a stronger voice, which was more masculine, put on your seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like wearing a seatbelt, so I said, I'm not putting on my seatbelt. You know, what for? As I pulled out of the driveway, I heard in a bigger voice, put on your seatbelt. It's clear as bell.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, okay, they did make an announcement that the cops are out, going to give tickets for no seatbelt.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you know, maybe that's it. So fine. I put on my seatbelt, okay? I am not a slow driver, never have been, probably never will be, because if I want to get to someplace, I get there.
Well, geez, you're reading me.
There's a road out here, a main road in the Chicagoland area called 355. Now, the speed limit on 355 is 55 miles an hour. I, however, tend to go between 70 and 80 because there's nobody there.
Right.
All right? But when I go down a ramp, I slow down because, you know, you're going down a ramp and then there's a stoplight at the bottom of the ramp.
Right.
All right. So I'm doing my 70, 80 miles an hour, and I know I'm coming up to my exit, so I start to slow down a little bit. I start down the ramp probably at about maybe 55.
Uh-huh.
Halfway down that ramp, and I'm slowing down as I get there because halfway down is halfway, and then at the end is the stoplight. So I'm slowing down anyway, and I hear a voice, again, a masculine voice, say to me, slow down. So I slow down a little bit more, all right? So just in what happened is that the light had, as I'm approaching it, had just turned green.
Well,
I knew it wasn't going to turn red, so I thought, well, why is this voice telling me that? But so I'm going, and I'm slowing down each time. But then just before I start to enter the intersection, I hear, slow down. So I hit the brakes, all right? When I hit the brakes, it was a good thing. Because the kid, I had a little bitty car, a little Mitsubishi, a little bitty one.
Mm-hmm.
A kid driving a 1985 Dodge pickup truck, you know, that's a big thing.
Right.
Ran the red light. But I didn't see him.
Okay. Wow.
I didn't see him. So because I hit the brakes like I did, instead of that truck hitting me broadside, which would have crushed me because I had on my seatbelt, and he was going quite fast apparently, he hit everything on my car from the crack of the driver's door forward.
Wow.
Okay, forward. Took off my side mirror, but forward. I had the seatbelt on, but I was still banging all around because when he hit me, my car spun, and the back of my car hit the back of his truck. So I had a double dip.
Oh, wow.
That's how fast this kid was going, okay? I was hurt pretty bad. You know, I mean, I was coherent, but I knew I was hurt pretty bad. So I took the seatbelt off, and I reached for the phone to call my boyfriend to tell him that they needed to call where I was supposed to be showing up because I had everybody's check to pay them, that I was going to be a little late, but I would be there, all right? So I see all these people by my car, and this is the part that always I tend to think is very funny. They're looking at you, knowing you've just been in a really bad car accident. They go, are you okay?
Yeah. No, I'm always breathed like this from the mouth.
I look at them, I go, do I look okay? You know, I mean, I wasn't in the mood.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened is that they had to take me out of the car and stretcher, number one. And I hit my head really bad. In fact, I was twisted so much in the seat, even though I had a seatbelt on, that the back of my head in the middle hit the top of the roof where the seatbelt is attached.
Right.
With my head open. Okay. So I got a really bad hit in the back of my head, and then the side of my left side of my head hit the window of the driver's side. So I was pretty banged up. Okay. So they get me out with a stretcher. I you know, I'd call my boyfriend to tell him I was going wherever I was going that he needed to call police because I had no idea where they were going to take me because I wasn't sure which hospital they would take me at.
Right.
So he took me to emergency room. And the first question the guy asked me, the doctor asked me, do you have insurance? Well, no, I don't. So you know what? They didn't really want to treat me. I mean, they didn't do any x-rays on me. They put a little bit of neosporin on my cut that was bleeding in the back of my head. They gave me a Tylenol, and they gave me an ice pack for my neck. That was the treatment that I had at the hospital, because I didn't have any insurance.
Oh, my God.
I had the car insurance, which would pay for all this, but it didn't dawn on me that I had that. So, according to them, I had no insurance. And because of that, they weren't really going to do a lot for me, no matter how much I was hurt, because I seemed real coherent, but my head was all scrambled.
Of course.
And the back of my head from ear to ear in the whole middle, my entire skull was numb. I could not feel anything. Okay? So I was banged. My neck was all twisted, so all my muscles at the base of my skull, you could actually take your hand and grip it around, and that's how swollen they were.
Mm.
The doctor informed me that I had nothing wrong with me, that I could go home and go to bed. And
mm-hmm.
I told him my head got hit. I told him I was really dizzy. I told him I felt disoriented, and that's what his answer was to me. So my boyfriend picked me up. The police came, and the police said, oh, by the way, the kid had a 25 to 28-foot skid mark before he hit you. I said, well, okay, and he's going pretty fast. And so they said, we give him a ticket, and this is your court date, blah, 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 blah. Make sure you show up. All right, police leaves. My boyfriend's going to take me to where I need to go to pay all the rest of the psychics. He goes,
yeah.
Are you sure you want to go? And I go, well, yes, because they're waiting for me to come. And even though I'm late, I won't get paid, but they need to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So he drops me out there because I'm bound and determined to be there. My one girlfriend is a natural healer, plus, you know, she does psychic readings too. So she looks at me and she goes, are you okay? And I said, well, no, not really. I said, but I'm here. And I said, and you're going to need to take me to my mom's because I was watching my granddaughter at the time every morning.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, what happened to you? And I said, I was in a pretty bad car accident. She said, and you're here? I said, yeah, you guys all need to be paid. She said, did they x-ray you or anything? I said, no, because I didn't have any insurance. She said, you have car insurance. That'll cover it. So when they were done, because I sat there and I waited, and I was getting in more pain and more pain and more pain.
But of course, because you had at least whiplash, they have something of a concussion.
So I go back the emergency room, and the same doctor sitting there reading the newspaper. I walk in. Now, this has been 2 hours later.
Right.
The same person that was there when I was there is still sitting in the emergency room in a bed, and the doctor is the same doctor, and I turn to him, and I go, well, I'm back, and he looks at me like he never saw me before in his life. I said, you know, the car accident, I was just here a couple hours ago. He goes, well, I told you we were going to feel pretty bad. I said, well, I really think I need some x-rays. Oh, fine. So they readmit me into the hospital. Okay, so I got a double admittance price. They take me in to do a CAT scan, and every time I turned to my right side, I was so dizzy, I felt like I was going to pass out.
Right.
So this guy lays me on the CAT scan table for 45 minutes, which made me sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean sick. When I went to raise up, I had to turn to the right to raise up, and in order to not fall off the table, I had to grip the side of the table. And this nice technician guy says, well, the cart's out in the hall. I said, I don't think you quite understand this here. I said, I am so dizzy right now. The only reason why I'm sitting on this table is because I'm gripping it for dear life. So unless you want me to stand up and fall on the floor and sue your butt off here, you better bring the cart in here. Now, this is the kind of things that went on at this particular hospital.
Okay? Outrageous.
Very outrageous. He brings the cart and shoves it towards me. Instead of putting it up so I could put my legs on it, he shoves it to me. Says, there's the cart. I said, you know, you are a total idiot, and you ought to be glad I feel as bad as I do, or I'd get off the table and I'd beat the living crap out of you.
You seem to be a very feisty young lady.
Yes, aggravated me. By trade, I was actually a nurse, so I knew all these things that they were
doing. Ah, you did nursing too, so did I, at Georgetown University Hospital.
Yeah, so I looked at my x-rays. And the doctor's looking at the x-rays. He goes, well, there's no swelling going on in your head. Well, the reason why there wasn't is because my girlfriend, who does healing, was working on my head the entire time, so there wasn't any swelling going on.
Right.
Okay. And I said, yeah, that's fine. I kind of feared that. But when I looked at the x-ray of my neck, it looked like I had a horseshoe in my neck.
Uh-oh.
That's how bad it was. And in the back of my throat, there was something like poking it, and you couldn't clear it out. It was one of my vertebrae.
Oh!
Doctor says to me, "You're fine. You're going to be a little sore. Go home and go to bed." I said, "You know, what about the shape of my neck?" "Oh, it's just arthritis. You're going to be, you know, in pain. Take Tylenol." So I left. I couldn't work for 3.5 months after that because I was in such pain. And because nobody had bothered to really check me out, I had a lot of damage done to, like, my neck. And my speech started getting kind of weird. I knew what I was going to say, but I couldn't get it out. So they finally decided to give me an MRI after 3 or 4 months. And by then, it was really too late. Now, the moral of this story is, although I did all the things that I was supposed to have done the right way,
mm-hmm.
this kid that hit me, he gave them a false insurance card, never showed up for court, and never had to pay a bill. Now, I asked myself ever since then, which was in 2000, June of 2000, 8 years later, I asked myself, what lesson was I supposed to learn from this? And to this day, 8 years later, I have not figured it out. So when people, you know, say to me, "Well, you caused this," you know, I'm sitting here going, "Okay, I caused it, but," and that's fine if I caused this, but at least give me the reason why you're telling me that I created this for myself. I don't like pain.
The only thing that, have you figured it out yet? No?
No.
Okay. The only thing that really leaps to my mind is to fight for yourself, God, because you deserve it.
But I did that.
Yeah, and even harder.
Here's what I got. Because the kid had just turned 18, his parents were not liable any longer. And because he was a student, there was no way to go after him to get any money. So he never had to pay a dime to me. Not one dime. And not one attorney would handle the case because he had just turned 18. And there was no way to get money from him. I sent letters. I talked to several attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And they all told me the same thing, Nancy. It would take you forever to get your money back. I said, "I don't care. This probably would have taught this kid a lesson."
Right.
And I said, because he really screwed me up. He cost me business. He cost mm-hmm. me my health for a long time. I said, "I'm still in pain. There are days that I can wake up and I'm so dizzy because one of my vertebrae is kind of dislodged." And I said, "And I live with this every day." And they go, "Well, there really isn't anything we can do." So fight for it, I tried. Was told by, I think, 5 different attorneys that exact same story. Even called up the kid and said, "You know, I realize that you're a kid and you're 18 and you're probably scared to death, but you have no idea what you have created for me as far as trouble and problem. All I think you should do is make amends for that." He would hang up on me. So I'm hoping that because of what I had to go through, that this kid eventually learns something from it, because that's the only thing that can, you know, erase all the things I had to go through, is if this kid learns something at some point in time. Because you see, if he did that to me, he will do it to somebody else, and maybe the next person won't be so lucky. Maybe they will get killed.
Yeah, my feeling is, yeah, it's also a lack of responsibility on the parents' part, too.
Well, it's total lack, but, you know, that's their free will.
Yeah.
And there isn't anything that I could do to change that, because they were not about to pay the expense that this cost me. So that's what I'm saying. You wanted to know why things don't work when
mm-hmm.
you're so positive, because I am one of the most positive persons you'd ever want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just because of what you have done. It
right.
goes along with other people's free will.
Well, yes, and I agree with that. I mean, I think part of what I've had to go through is to learn to give up all things, you know, even to do without, in order for me to be totally free.
But see, that is most of what's going on in today's world, is that in order for people to do the growth that they need to do, they really have to give up all these material things that they
mm-hmm.
think they want. They have to start to look inside themselves and find out who they really are pending?
Well, I was already doing that in a way, but I'm not going to go, you know, further too much into mine because this show is about you, darling. For example, trying to get here for the show today, I made a turn right in front of my house and hit the curb and blew a tire.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get here on time. And you know that the show started late.
Right.
Now, what did I learn?
here's what I pick up from that, is that you should have just really turned in, taking your time, because even if you were a little late, the show still could have gone on at some point in time.
Yes, it did. But I am conscientious.
I know that, and that's very true. But it isn't worth hitting the curb and blowing out a tire.
No, it's not. And I was annoyed with myself and thinking if I hadn't been in such a hurry to be here on time. But, you know, I feel when I give a commitment,
right,
then I honor it.
But yes, and we do.
And I did not mean to hit the curb. In fact, I thought I was going to miss the curb. I was going to, you know, not even park in the garage like I normally do, but to make sure that I was available and did not inconvenience anybody.
They just wanted to make sure that you made that turn even if you had to hit the curb.
They what?
They wanted to make sure that you made that turn even if you had to hit the curb.
Right. And so, because I never park out, well, not never, that's a hard thing to say, but, you know, 99.9% of the time, I go straight into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And this one time, I hit the curb, and I shouldn't have, because I guess I gave it enough space, I thought, and I didn't. And even so, I wasn't going fast. And all I could think of after that was, I'm going on a trip for several hundred miles in a couple of weeks. It's a good thing that if it was a faulty tire, it blew now rather than on a long trip.
That's right. Because as you're talking to me about that, I turned over some cards for you.
Oh, yes.
And the very first card that came up was getting things restabilized, which now you have to do.
Restabilized?
Yeah, because that tire probably was bad, because I have getting things restabilized, the stress from what it caused, you doing the searching, and then some changes that you will make because of it, and then you come out with success. So your trip should be really good now.
Great, because actually the first thing that hit my mind was, besides unprintable words, which we will remain nameless, was, you know, that it did save me from, you know, having another accident. And that we would have been on a highway, you know, miles from home, and that would not have been a good thing. And these are supposedly new tires. I mean, you know, I have 22,000 miles on them, so I think they're still under warranty.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I will be going to the dealership tomorrow and, you know, running my jaw about the tires. I suppose they're going to hit me with paying some of the bill, but, you know.
You might want to make sure that your rim didn't get bent.
My what?
Your rim.
Rim?
Yeah.
I don't think, well, I'll have them check the rim, of course.
Have them check that, too.
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, have them check that, too.
Oh, you think there's something wrong with the rim now?
No, but just in case, because sometimes when you hit a curb like that, it does kind of tend to dent the rim a little bit, and then the tire itself does not, you know, set, and it'll have a slow
leak. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just a practical consideration.
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty good at that. I will definitely have them, you know, check that out. I am. But as I said, I had a wonderful day with some friends. We went out and we laughed and, you know, had a wonderful time. And I thought, well, you know, this too shall pass.
Yeah, it will. And it
did. You know, as I said, I'm not as upset about it as I could have been because, again, feeling from within, the best thing that could have happened is that it happens now literally in front of my house, literally.
Right. It's the best way.
Yes.
Even if you were 5 miles away, that would have been a real pain.
Yeah, yeah, and I have, and then the guy shows up half an hour before he's due. Now, AAA, I have to say this, ladies and gentlemen, AAA, I give you kudos for that. You were here a half an hour early, I'm impressed. So I endorse AAA.
Good.
Yeah, I have encountered, and this is what I couldn't understand, is trying to get work going. And I'm a very positive person. I mean, I know when things are going to happen, usually. And when they don't happen, I'm always surprised. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
But lately, you know, off, especially on getting started on certain projects. It seems to be blocked, but it's not me that's doing the blocking. You know, and I'm looking, am I worthy? Yes. Am I deserving? Yes. Is it somebody else's stuff that's holding me back? Yeah, I think.
Probably.
And
you can do your stuff, but when you got to, you know, have other people involved, you can't really control their stuff.
Right. But that's when I expect my angels and my guardians to do their, whatever it is, the voodoo they do so well.
Whatever they do, the voodoo they do so well.
I expect them to do for me on my behalf, so that you know we can move forward in having a decent life here. You know, one without lack and so forth and so on. Because I do lack well. I mean, you know, I just don't. I also know that part of what I've been going through has given me an appreciation that might have been lacking before. If that makes sense.
No, it does. See, that's what I'm saying. You know, when people sit and go, well, why is this not happening to me? You know, I am expecting this. I've been positive, but why isn't it? You know, that's why I say kind of go backwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask, you know, out loud, why is this that it's not happening for me? Just give me a direct answer so I understand it.
Yes, I would like a very direct answer. Thank you very much.
Right. Because they're giving you all kinds of answers, but a lot of times we're not picking up the answers the way they're being sent.
Well,
so you got to ask for direct.
So what I tell them is in English, please.
Yeah, English, and make it clear and easy to understand.
Exactly. Now, let me tell you this. I had a couple of dreams since last we spoke, and one of them, my dog Penny, who died, it'd be 2 years this July, I guess, I dreamed about her and very, very clearly, and she was running around in the dream playing with me, and everywhere I went, she went with me in my dream. And I felt very positive. She was playing around just like she did with a puppy, and she was always following me and so forth and so on. And so I was taking that maybe to mean that she's with me more now, and she's going to stay with me.
She will stay with you. Here's the thing. Interpretations, I'm not a pro at it, so I don't claim to be, but I do realize symbolism. Her being in your dreams like that brings back your happy time.
Yes.
And because you've been so uptight and so worried and so whatever words you want to choose,
yeah,
they sent this dream to you so that you could feel better, happier. Okay?
Right.
And they sent the dog because they knew that that was your happy time. And they know how much you miss the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So they want you to know that, yes, the dog is very much with you. Yes, the dog is there to cheer you up. So anytime you start to have really a bad day, just refocus on that dream. And that's going to change your day to a very good, positive day.
Okay, now the night before, I had another dream, and during that dream, I've been visualizing money coming in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of checks. And what I visualized was money in the amount of $3,000 every 2 weeks coming in.
Okay.
So, any day now would be good. Today would be a good day to start, folks.
Today would be a great day.
Yeah.
Here's what I have been taught.
Okay.
To not limit what you're asking for.
Oh, I didn't. I'm just saying that's what I saw.
Okay, but, you know, but even with what you saw, that's a good thing because it shows you there should be money coming in.
And it's sufficient, if not even more.
Right. So it's like just, you know, remember that the money is going to be coming in, and it may start off a little bit smaller than the three, but it's going to get there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they give us these dreams because they want to give us messages that we are not hearing or refuse to listen to in our waking hours. And fortunately, if people keep dream logs, you know, like every time they have a dream, they write it down and they date it and stuff, they can always go back and look at those, and it will help them to understand what that dream meant, and it will show them what comes from that dream.
Mm-hmm.
So if your listeners are out there and they have dreams like that, like I dream in color,
I always do them in color.
I remember, not everybody does.
Well, you know, that's what people tell me, but I, you know, I think the number of times that I haven't dreamed in my color in my life, you can count on the fingers of one hand and you don't need all the fingers. I have always dreamed in color.
Real creative people usually dream in color.
Hmm.
Okay, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so just, like, have a log and kind of log it in.
Oh, I've recorded my dreams from 1973.
Good. So what you need to do now is go back and re-listen to what you have recorded to see what kind of information and messages that they have sent you all that time.
Yeah, I know. Some are really, really, really great. I could do movie stories with them.
Maybe that's what you should do. That would create money for you.
Yeah, I know, but I just so often I'm used to knowing what's going to happen, okay, ahead, that when things stop coming to me, you know, answers and so forth stop coming to me, I'm totally almost lost because I'm used to getting the information in front of me. I was telling you that I had a traumatic incident from when I was a child, too. I had a couple of traumatic incidents. In fact, when you were talking about that accident you had, I remember when I was little in nursery school, I must have been, what, 3-4 years old, maybe, and I was walking along the, we were at the horse park where we went to go horseback riding and play ball, and I was walking by the little creek in Rock Creek Park, and I heard a whack, and the next thing I know, I was down on my knees and almost flat on my face in the ground. The kids had hit a softball, I guess, or I don't know if it was baseball or softball, whatever it was, and it hit me square in the back of the head, and I just went down on all fours. And then all I could think of was to get back up and stand on my own 2 feet. Everybody was standing around staring at me, expecting me to just, you know, I guess, lay down and curl my toes up and die. I don't know what it was. But the blow on the back of the head, I'm not sure what it did, but sometimes they say when you do that, when that happens, it starts some psychic experiences for you.
Oh, big time. When that happened to me,
your neck.
Well, yeah, when my accident happened to me, right after that, I could look at people and I knew that they were going to die.
Yeah.
And so what would happen is every time, because I was only 6, every time I knew that, I would start to approach somebody to say, you know, you need to take better care of something because something's going to be happening. My angel voice would come in and interrupt me and say no, this is not your concern.
Yeah.
This has already been chosen. They're going to a better place. You have to leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I thought, well, okay, but...
Well, you know, I used to could read people very well, you know. I could look at people and tell you if they were telling the truth or lying. Mm-hmm. And I would look to my mother and say, Mama, this or this and so. And she said, Phyllis, how dare you say something to me? You don't. I said, but that's true, Mom. And, you know, after a while, I hid it because you weren't supposed to. And I was invariably proved correct. But after a while... You turn it off, you know what I mean?
Well, here's what happened with me. Mine was never turned off, however.
Well, it went underground for me.
They would not let me put myself out there. And they did not let me put myself out there with what I know and what I knew until I was in high school.
Right.
And there was another thing, and this actually saved everybody's lives. And what they did for me at that time, my wonderful angels, my brother was driving himself, his girlfriend, her brother, and myself to school. And out in Westmont, where we lived, there was a 2-lane highway. And there was
where was that, New Jersey?
There was no speed limit, so my brother was going probably about 65. And we started to go up this hill. And as we started up this hill, in front of my eyes, just like a movie,
right?
I saw what was going to happen on the other side of that hill if
mm-hmm.
I didn't change it. This was the first time since I was 6 years old that I was allowed to really say what I felt and what I saw.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I immediately start saying, slow down the car. I don't want to die today. And my brother's going, well, what is wrong with you? And I go, just laugh at me tomorrow when you're still alive, but you slow down this car because if you don't, we are all going to die. Now, I was yelling this all the way up the hill, and my brother thought I was just nuts, so he wasn't about to slow down. We got to the top of the hill, and I'm seeing this replay over and over again, and there was two-lane highway, school bus. We were going north, school bus coming south. So that would have been a head-on if we went into the other lane. There was a road that comes out from the right when you're going down the hill, about 300 yards from the bottom of the hill. And there's going to be a white car that pulls out there, thinks he can beat the school bus, but can't, and stops in our lane because he didn't think we were coming that fast. Now, we were going to hit that car broadside, and we were all going to die, is what I saw. So, I'm yelling and yelling, you know, it's not my turn to die, it's not your turn to die. You slow down this car, we're all going to die. You got to understand this. And I yelled it and yelled it. And finally, my brother starts slowing down the car because I wouldn't stop yelling. He thought I was crazy. And I didn't care.
Yeah, well, at that point, I wouldn't have cared either.
So instead of hitting car broadside or going in the other lane and hitting the school bus head on, my brother had slowed down to like 40, 45, and we actually sideswiped the car. So everybody in the front seat, because they were all in the front seat, they had just like a few cuts and bruises. I was in the back seat with all the school books thrown all over this, you know, back seat. And when we hit, the only thing that stopped me from going through the front windshield from the back seat was that one of my legs went through the seat and one went under the seat.
Wow.
The rest of me went over the seat.
Wow.
Okay. I was the only one who got out of the car, went and I called the police, the fire department, the school, my mom, everything that needed to be done, I did it. Didn't even think about it, just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all get taken to the hospital. We get brought back home. Hospital says we're all fine, nothing's going on, you just have to cut some bruises. And I may be sore, okay? Looked like my legs went through a meat grinder because they're all bruised and banged up from the springs of the seat and going under. But my mom didn't have a car, so she couldn't come. So when I walked in the back door, now to get up to the main level, there's like six stairs of this house we lived in. My mom was standing at the top of the stairs, and my mom's comment to me was, "I'm glad you didn't ruin your pretty white teeth." Okay? With that, wherever I had been, I came back, I collapsed on the floor, I could not walk for a month. I had pulled every muscle and tendon from the base of my skull down to my heel. So for a month, I got to lay on the bed and ask all these questions. And my questions were like this: if I know all these things, why can't I use them? Why did you not allow me to tell people what I knew from the time I got this until now? Why did you stop it? I mean, constant questions like that.
I think I'd be asking why, too.
Here's the answer that I got, and it made perfect sense to me. It wouldn't at the time when I was little, but it did then. The answer I got from my angels was this: if we would have allowed you to say the things that you knew were going to happen, they would have locked you away, given you all kinds of drugs, and you would never have been able to grow.
That's
right. We need you to complete a lot of things that are still not done. And I thought, that's a pretty big order. What do you mean by that? You know, so those questions I'm sure many people ask. Because especially if you get this when you're a child and yet you're not, you know, you start and then you have to stop. Most people shut theirs down, just like you said. I never shut mine down, but I was totally protected, is why I named my book Raised by Angels. Because they gave me the wisdom and the knowledge and all the knowings that I have. They raised me. My parents housed me. They fed me. They clothed me. They loved me. But they didn't give me what I got. It came directly from my angels.
That's interesting. My mother honored what I got, except when I got for other people, especially when I had told the police where they could find the man who beat and robbed her. And he was in the house where I told them he was, you know, hiding. And but they didn't believe me. They had to wait a couple of months, two or three months later, I think it was, until he had beaten and robbed other people and then killed a cab driver. I think that's what it was. Before they raided the house where I had pointed out the man was living. They found my mother's purse in the hall, first floor hallway. And the officer called my mother and said to tell her to tell me that I was right and they were wrong. that I did know where he lived, and they had to apologize to me because they didn't believe me at first. Because who's going to believe a five-year-old kid?
Right. Who's going to believe an adult when they come and ask you for help?
Mm-hmm.
I have that, too. I helped the police a few times, but I don't help them anymore because they aggravated me.
They do. They do, don't they?
Yeah. You know, they come to you looking for help. You give them the answers that they need, and then they...
And what happens? I'm sorry?
And they treat you like you're just nothing.
Well, you know what it is? It's fear.
Well, it might be. You know, and I told them, I don't want my name known. I don't want people to know that I helped you anyway.
Right.
So I don't know what your problem is, but there was a couple of them there that just... They were just really kind of nasty, and I said, you got your answers. Please don't call me again. Not after this.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I know that. I've helped... police too, you know, and helped a friend find where her daughter was, and I told him it was, in fact, my daughter's best girlfriend was viciously murdered, and I told them it was within 20 yards of an old trestle bridge, mm-hmm. and they found her within 20 yards of an old trestle bridge. It was a disused. A disused train bridge, mm-hmm. and the only one I had known was a traffic bridge. Okay, mm-hmm. so that's where I thought she was, but it wasn't. And so I was kind of when they finally found her, somebody else found her because he was walking the boundary of his property about 2.5-3 weeks after she was missing. Mm-hmm. They found her 20 yards from the water near a trestle bridge. And her mother had been searching the whole time for her. And I told her mother finally, I said, you know, your daughter does not want you to find her body at this time because it's now been 3 weeks. And a lot have been done by animals and,
right.
you know, just... I said, as soon as you stop looking for her body... She's going to be found, and 3 days later, she was found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get all kinds of information, but so does everybody else. See, and that's the part that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, we can get it.
Everybody has psychic ability. Everybody has this.
Absolutely.
But they don't use it.
Well, they don't use it because they're afraid of it. A lot of people think it's evil, and it's forbidden in the Bible. And I said, show me where it's forbidden. And then they cite Solomon and calling up the ghost of... whoever was that prophet before him,
uh-huh.
saying, why do you disturb my ghost? And I said, well, because it was more or less a frivolous reason.
Which is true. But if they actually go and they read Corinthians 1 and 2.
Corinthians, it's 1, 11 and 12, isn't it?
Yeah.
12 and 13.
That will help them a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's a gift of the Spirit.
Yes.
And that's what I tell them. These are all gifts, and we all can do that. And I tell them psychic merely means the shadow side or the other side of the soul. Actually, it means the soul, not the shadow side, but it means the soul, and therefore they're soul gifts. And if we are created by God, then these are gifts that are God-given, and we should use them.
Right.
It's like having a muscle. If you don't learn to walk, how are you going to walk?
The biggest psychic ever, of course, was God, and the prophets that are in the Bible, they all would be called psychics of the day. We just can't walk around and say, hey, we're a prophet.
No.
Because then they think we're really not.
Well, Christ, I always say Christ was the greatest psychic of all, in my opinion.
Yep, he was.
But, you know, there are those who would say there were others who had greater gifts and abilities. And that's true, too. But in my book, you know, he's the one I consider. He's my role model, you know.
Yep.
But that's just my cultural training and background. I'm sure the Buddha would have been not if I'd been born in that...
Yes, but everybody has it, and it amazes me when people say, well, you know, I had this feeling, but, you know, I did this other thing instead. And it's like, well, then how did it turn out? They go, well, not so good. And I said, and then after you did it and it didn't turn out so good, didn't you just hear a little bit of something in you like, I knew I should have done it the first way?
Right.
And they go, well, I said you did. You just didn't want to hear it.
Right, right. And you don't listen to yourself. And the thing is, we're taught not to listen to ourselves.
Right.
This is what I find so frustrating many times is we don't honor ourselves. And people look at me, and it's like I say, when was the last time you stood in front of a mirror and you looked at yourself and you said, I love you.
Yep.
I love who you are, and I love the person I'm creating you to be each and every day. And they just look at me and say, well, that's egotistical. I said, no, it's not. It's honoring yourself.
Right.
and who you are. And I say, if you can't love you, if you can't honor who you are, why would you expect anybody else to do so?
Oh, yeah. And people, they understand it, but they don't quite get it. Because when I do my readings, that's one of the things that I always tell people, please, do yourself a favor. I don't care what you look like in the morning and at night. I don't care if your hair is totally messed up or you have old makeup on. I don't care. Or you have a beard growing. Just look at yourself in the mirror, eye to eye, and say, I love me.
And do you know how difficult it is for some people? They have to work up to it.
Yep, it is very difficult.
They cannot say, I love me, because they immediately consider it egotistical. My daughter had a wonderful teacher in third grade. And she tried something one time. She went to the class and she asked the children to tell her what they liked about themselves. And she said there was real consternation.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what was the result? And she said, there was a dead silence. And she said, certainly, some of you, there must be something that you like about yourself. And one little girl timidly raised her hand, and the teacher said yes. And she said, I have nice hair.
Yep. But
and so she got a song out that had the children sing, I like myself, I like me, I like I'm the way I want to be.
Right.
And it's a darling little song that I taught my daughter, and I sing it when I get really depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can feel good about me, too.
Yeah.
Because we are our own worst enemies. We are our most critical person. And we should be able to love ourselves. And people don't understand. When you say, I love myself, it's not a selfish love. It's a self-love of honoring who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important.
It really is. And again, people, they're afraid to do it because of the way that they've been raised. You know, and when I tell people the same thing, they look at me and they go, well, I can't do that. And I go, yes, you can. Even if you have to fake it for the first couple of times.
Exactly. I mean,
right.
How many women have, never mind, let's not go there. I'm sorry, I'm sounding a little bizarre today.
That's all right. Anybody that hits the curb and blows out a tire when they're supposed to give in a talk show ought to sound a little bizarre.
Well, you know, it's, and God bless, my girlfriend decided to stay here overnight or it would have been worse. She's taken care of the whole thing for me while I've been on the phone with you.
Well, we'll have to make sure we thank her.
Oh, of course I am, you know. She's going to be drinking sparkling Zinfandel.
Good.
She can tickle her nose with my beautiful champagne-type wine. So she's just a dear, dear, dear friend, too.
At any rate,
I think we should tell people they can call in. I mean, don't be shy. I don't think they're shy about your show, are they?
They call in when I open the phone lines. A lot of times I don't open the phone lines, but I really like doing the readings because they're quick and they hit, you know, they hit really, really well. So, you know, if people do want to call in, that's great.
Anyway. Oh, I hope so. Well, maybe they're not used to having any, you know, I just looked at the clock, and you know what time it is? I saw 333.
Oh, cool.
And what does that master number mean to you?
Well, 33 is a very big master number. Just in self, you don't even need the third one, just in, as the master number three is for creativity and just abundance and just all kinds of stuff. It's a good...
What that means?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I guess my streak of being, you know, learning how the other half doesn't live is almost over.
Right.
Or it is over, and I'm just getting ready for it. I am so glad, Nancy, that you are my first guest on the new Showtime. I am very honored. I'm going to run by this again. We are talking with Nancy Wallace, who is a psychic and a hypnotherapist and a lady who loves children and who has a lot of creative abilities and a wonderful all-around person. And I am so honored to have you on my show today.
Oh, and I appreciate that. Could I give out my website?
You read my mind, little lady. Go ahead.
I must be psychic, huh?
I think you must be psychic, too. Oh, boy.
The website address is www.nancys, N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com. Now, if you go to my website, there's a thing I want, I tell people about, because this is real important. At the bottom of the page, on the right side of the page, there's a thing there that says, let go letter. Now, that let go letter, if you click on it and bring it up and print it out, it is a technique that I have been using for 28 years to help people let go of all past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt.
Uh-huh.
Because we all have those and we've all carried them. And it is a technique. It takes as long as it takes. There's no shortcuts. And there are no interruptions once you start. Nobody sees this letter. So it's total, total honesty about everything, including yourself, with the hurts, the pains, the guilt, and the anger. Because once people write this, they do almost like a 360-degree turn if they do it right. That means you don't stop. It means you write the truth. And it's a technique, and you end up burning the letter, so nobody's going to see it anyway. So it's total, total honesty. But it helps many, many people, because I've been using it for so long. And what's really funny is when I tell somebody how to do this letter in reading, and I also tell them, please do not call me again or try to come back to see me until you do this letter, because if you do it, don't do it, and you want to see me again, you're going to waste your money, because your reading is going to come out pretty much the same. Look at me like I'm crazy. And then I add, but the weirdest thing is, no matter how long it's taken, even if it's taken years, when I start to turn over those cards, I remember your reading. And it comes out the same. So for everybody who is listening, this is one of the best ways to let go of any hurts, pains, angers, or guilt. And it's much cheaper than a psychiatrist.
Isn't it?
To help you more.
Isn't it, though? Absolutely.
It's very hard to do, because a lot of people don't want to talk about the hurts, the pains, or angers, or guilt. That's why when they go see psychiatrists, most of the time they waste their money, because they only go so far, and then they either start to tell the psychiatrist what they want to hear, or they keep going. This is done totally, totally by yourself, with no interruptions. Nobody sees it. It's one of the best ways to get done with all of this old gunk, so you can bring all this good stuff that's been waiting into your life.
Well, I would have to agree with you on that, okay? Because when you are holding on to old stuff, there's no room for the new stuff to come in.
Right.
And my feeling is that, you know, I like life a lot. But there are times when, you know, I like to sit down and say, God, you know, you and me are going to have a come to Jesus meeting here. I had a girlfriend who almost had hysterics when I said that. That's blasphemy. I said, no, it's not. I said, you know, he wants me to do certain things. I'm perfectly willing to do it. But if he's not going to participate and help me out here, you know, we got to renegotiate the contract, bud, you know? Because I'm only willing to go so far without, having assistance. And sometimes, you know, I just get darn angry and say, you know, if you want me to do stuff, you're going to have to get off the buns here and do something to help me, because... you know, I know I'm supposed to be responsible, but enough already, you know?
Yep, it's a partnership, and that's what people need to realize, it's a partnership. So if something really needs to be talked about, don't be afraid to, you know, say, hey, we need to get this straight here, you know?
Exactly. And I get a little tired, because as I tell the good Lord, you know, it's, I don't know. I was talking to him, and somebody was saying something or other, and I said, well, you know, if God wanted me to be a virgin mother, I said, we'd have a prenuptial contract written, you know?
Which is all true. Would you like me to do a reading for you?
Oh, would you like to?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay.
So people who are listening will get an idea of how it's done, okay?
Okay.
But I do have to shuffle the cards a little bit, so you may hear the shuffling of the cards, and that's, you know, just a little bit... So
well,
you know this, when I cut the card,
yes.
The card that I cut was the best money card in the deck.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that's so that you know that. I'm reshuffling and putting everything in the deck here with about tons of energy. I always do like a little protection blessing prayer, and it goes like this. I ask for truth, knowledge, wisdom, what to say, and how to say it to the person.
Isn't that beautiful? Perfect. Perfect prayer.
So, first card up is the message about love for yourself, which is what you're trying to do, okay? Mm-hmm. Next card up is you, again, letting go of your past hurts, pains, angers, guilt, fears, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? As soon as you do that, the best money card in the deck pops up. It's the Ten of Pentacles. And then that's followed by the Star, which means God's blessing you for better things to come your way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's followed by more power, more energy coming for you,
mm-hmm.
and good karma. That means better things happening, especially from June on, okay?
Okay.
So May is still going to be kind of a little iffy here, but you'll be fine. So you got to hang in there, and then you come up with the Ten of Cups, which is good things happening for you. And then you come up with good judgment in your favor. So again, whatever you're trying to do is going to work. And do you have any sons?
Yes, I do.
How many?
I have one.
Is he having a hard time?
I have no clue.
He's having a hard time. So since you don't have a clue, I will tell you. He is. He comes up with actually the worst card in the deck for his emotions. And he comes up as a Prince of Swords, which means his emotions go up and down a lot like a yo-yo. He holds on to a lot of past hurts, pains, and
yes, he does.
And he's
with
not,
both little furry paws.
Right. He's not having a good time. And so what you might want to do is, if you know what his address is or his email address, is send him the letter, the let-go letter, okay?
Okay.
Because he's not a bad person.
No, he is not.
Okay? He comes up first as a Prince of Wands, which means he is nice. His compassion level runs too deep. He gets hurt very easily. He does not like people to know that. He tucks everything in. That, in turn, comes up with the worst card in the deck because he turns into the Prince of Swords, which is like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde with
yes.
his emotions.
He can do that, yeah.
And there's a part of him, because of his anger and stuff, that he can be somewhat of a user, a taker, and a manipulator, given
very, very, yes, you're giving a good reading on him, yes.
Okay. So he needs to make some changes, because what will happen, since he's holding on to all this stuff, he's just going to keep pouring more of the same kind of gunk to him over and over again, which just means it's like you're burying yourself in a hole, which is a bunch of dirt constantly being poured over you, and there's no way to breathe or get out, so you
right.
die, okay?
Right.
So he needs to rework that a little bit so that his health does not get, you know, affected by it, and he needs to let go of it because it's doing him no good. You know, I tell people all the time, you have to let go of the past, and they look at me like, well, that's all I know. Well, yes, it may be all you know, but by you holding on to it, you keep making it extend over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell them, we can't change the past. You can't, I can't, nobody can. We cannot even change 1 minute ago.
Right.
What we can do while we're here at this time is learn from what we're going through and this time get it right so we don't have to go through it again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what your son needs to learn, okay? You're coming up with a change of lifestyle for the better with more money coming anytime between, say, like now and the next 7 weeks. And it's a good change, so there will be a little bit more money. Then you come up with the Chariot, which is have faith you can win to get what you want, followed by success, 3 times better than you think as long as you stay focused. And then you come up as a Princess of Pentacles, which means you're very, very smart, especially when you want to be. It also means, yeah, it also means that you're capable of making really good money for yourself if you want to.
Yes,
so
I
it's
do.
It's real important that you do not sell yourself short. You do not let anybody else sell you short, ever, ever.
Right.
Okay? So that's like just a quick basic one, and that's what I do. Like if people call in, that's the same
thing
wow. they're going to get. It's quick basic. Covers a lot of things just so quickly.
Good.
Now, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I would really like to have money sooner. What are the possibilities of having at least sufficient money sooner than 7 weeks? I mean, really needs to be in a lot sooner than that. Not a whole lot, but...
But see, here's what you... And you did exactly the same thing that most people do. You heard 7 weeks.
Yeah.
I said, from now...
Yeah, through seven weeks.
7 weeks.
Okay, so, now is good.
Yeah, so...
And I'll work on now.
Now, to that 7 weeks, it's going to get better. And here's the thing that people need to remember. When a statement is made like that, even if you have money coming in because money has been so tight, it's not going to cure it right away.
No, it's not.
A really good amount. So in that seven-week span, it means that you get more and more money coming. So by the end of that 7 weeks, you should be pretty much okay. Not perfect, but pretty much okay. All right?
That's fine.
So all you got to do is just keep going, rework whatever you know needs to rework. Stay out of your own way. That means don't let the stress get to you and don't let the worry get to you. And then you come up with a victory card.
That's fabulous.
Okay.
And I just wanted to ask, there's this program I developed for children and for adults too. And I want to know if that is actually going to take off, because that was something I had a vision about.
You come up with a good completion card. It's going to take a little bit more adjustment of something. Okay?
Okay.
Something. But within the next 4 weeks to 4 months. Now, 4 weeks.
Okay.
4 weeks to 4 months.
Hey, listen, I've been waiting 19 years. 4 weeks or 4 months is no problem.
It should start to take off, but there is something that you have to adjust a little bit, whether it's getting people to know about it more,
okay,
getting it out there better, or maybe tweaking it a little bit better.
Sure.
But it does work, because you're coming up with the world, which is the best card in the deck. It means everything you've been waiting for, hoping for, and wanting, you can finally have. You're going to love this part, as long as you do not talk yourself out of it, you do not let anybody else talk you out of it or take it away from you.
Okay, I can fight tooth and nail.
So when you start to think, well, maybe this is too good to be true, or this
nope.
can't happen for me, you stop yourself and you say, this may be too good to be true, however,
nope.
I have worked for this, I deserve it, it's mine, I want it, and I want it now.
Well, that I can live with.
Okay.
That I can live with. I know that what I have will help people. I know that it will help children.
Well, then you and I will get together and I will use it with what I'm doing.
Honey, I've always said we get to heaven holding hands with other people.
That's right.
So, you know, if I can share, then I am happy to do so. And I want to get these children off of the Ritalin as well.
Yep.
Because for me, it's just poisoning them.
Well, not only that, but they're taking children whose mind is just starting to develop the way we know it to
right.
develop. Because it's already developed in what they know.
Right.
But what we know it to be, and they're trying to alter it and stop it or change it. And I have a very big problem with that.
Well, yes, I agree. And just because kids, you know, filled with activities. Well, you know, when we were growing up, we were allowed to play.
That's right.
Okay? I could lay on my belly and watch an ant go through the grass, okay?
Right.
I've talked to people whose kids are in such scheduled stuff that mom and dad are basically nothing more than glorified social secretaries and chauffeurs.
Right.
The kids are in such structure that when they are given free time, they don't know how to amuse themselves.
That's all true.
They also have taken away recess from school, and I'm thinking, who in their right mind wouldn't understand that children cannot sit still and learn at hours at a stretch? You can't do that. You've got to get up and move and stretch and scratch and, you know, go to the bathroom and play and just let your mind relax so that you can then refocus. And they treat kids like little automations,
right.
and then they get upset because they don't seem to understand that the children cannot
right.
live exactly. that way.
But it's not even just that. Our system in schools are so old and so outdated for these kids that are here today that they are very bored. They already know.
Yes, they already know this information.
They have these answers. They just need a little tweaking to bring it up. But they know these answers, so they're very bored. So my school of now won't be like that. My school of now will never be outdated because of the different ways and techniques that I'm
Well, this is exactly what I had,
right.
is using the children, using the five senses to grow. Because, as I said, I think it's by stopping the five senses that have pushed us off of the tremendous learning curve that we could do. You know, kids, as I said, used to have free time. And, you know, in those free time, they used their imaginations.
Right.
And they used, and they got more information from the soul
mm-hmm.
at that time as a result. And I think they were closer in the older days before. And they didn't have this TV and stuff visually filling them with information.
Yes, and
distorted information, I might add.
Very much so. In the school that I've put together, there will be meditation, Tai Chi,
yep.
and yoga,
yep.
and a lot of outside activities to play and learn while they're playing in these activities, but they will be outside.
Well, you know, that's kind of, but not like mine, okay? Kind of, but not like mine, okay? There are some things that are similar in what we're talking about, but not the exact same. And I think that's wonderful, too.
Well, it is, because they need the variety.
Yes, and I've already done a couple pilot projects, and within an hour, I had children who refused to work in class before or acted up or whatever. We're now sitting down, listening, learning, and wanting to learn more, and proving they were more intelligent. And their teachers were surprised how bright the kids were. I didn't know they knew that. Well, of course not, because they had cubbyholed them.
Right. No, these kids are very, very bright, and they just need to not. They need to not be the same way the school system has been for eons, because it's not working today.
Well, exactly, and I guess you and I have that idea. Well, I don't know why anybody hasn't called, but you know what? We have had a wonderful time. We still have a little time left. Is there anything, my dear, that you would like to talk about besides giving, again, more information on you?
Well, I'll give out the whole information again.
Okay.
And mainly, when you go to my website, everything about me is on my website. It has my book that you can order. It has my bio. It talks about my child's miracle mind. It talks about the school and now. It even talks about a thing I'm going to put together called Dying with a Star. And when they go into my website, if they click on A Child's Miracle Mind, it's going to take them to another page. And on that page, it talks about ADD, ADHD, and autism.
Right.
And it gives you different links to go to so people can help understand things a little bit better. There's a statement that is on my website that says, our organization, my organization that I have, does not necessarily agree with the use of the prescription drugs. I mean, I don't know the exact statement, but it's there.
Yeah, close enough for government work, right?
Okay. But there's a lot of really good information about all of this stuff on there for people who, you know, think that they know about it, but they really don't because they're just hearing what the media wants them to hear or the doctors want them to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So the website, again, is www.nancys, N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com.
Okay.
And also, remember, at the bottom right corner, it says Let Go Letter. If you just click on it, it's going to bring up the technique that I've been using, again, to help people let go of all past hurts, pains, angers, or guilt. There's an email address there if you'd like to email me.
Mm-hmm.
There's my phone number there, which I will give it out. It's 630-941-6816.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's 630-941-6816. And if people want readings, they need to call and make an appointment because I don't, you know, I don't do without appointments because I can't.
Yeah.
If they want to listen to the program I have on BBS.
Absolutely.
Tonight,
go ahead.
Tonight will be a rerun. It's every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. So you can debate where you are, but 6 p.m. Central Time because I'm in Chicago. But tonight's going to be a rerun of some kind because I can't do it. I got things I got to do instead. But it's called Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Because on my site, if you go and listen to the archives, I've done probably 50 or more interviews and all different kinds of people, the psychics, producers. I even did one with David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. But if you go to my website, you can see all of that stuff. And then if you just go to the archives at DBS, you can also get all of it. You know, so that's kind of what I'm about. I want kids to get off those drugs. I want people to start to learn to love themselves, like themselves, and to grow, to be who
Absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely.
And I really want people to start to learn how to trust themselves. I also have another leg of the foundation that's called the Miracle Mind Institute, and it will be doing all kinds of different classes. I have not put it together yet, but it will be up soon.
Well, I think that's fabulous. You are one busy little lady.
I try.
Okay. I want to recap once more. You think I should send my son a letter?
Yeah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to print out another copy of the Let Go letter.
Okay.
Okay. Just print it out. You can cut off the top if it has, you know, the site address on it. I don't know if it does or not, but you can cut off the top so he doesn't know that it was by a psychic. And just send him a little letter, and you're going to say to him, I heard about this, and I tried this. this is what I got out of it. And you're going to tell him, write it out, what you got out of it. And then you're going to say, and you might want to try it too.
Okay.
Read this. It explains the technique on doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you got to do. And the rest is up to him if he wants to do it or not.
Right.
Okay, but at least you're giving him a different tool to look at
mm-hmm.
that you've already done, and you've explained what you got out of it that should help him to want to do it.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
Well, that would be wonderful because he needs help, you know?
Well, it's just that he's so angry. He's been angry for a long, long time, okay?
Yeah, and he's a lot angry with me, too, you know?
But he's angry at everything. He's even angry at himself.
Probably yes.
More angry at himself than anybody else. But he has to blame it on somebody else, so you're a likely candidate here because you're easy to take pot shots at, okay?
Yeah, I know. I'm mom.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
so
my feeling is he is angry at a lot of stuff, and I'm the one he focuses his anger on.
But you're the easiest one.
Of course I am.
Okay. But he's very, very angry in many categories, not just one or two, but many, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because when somebody comes up as a king of swords or a prince of swords or a queen of swords or a princess of swords, they have a lot of emotional baggage there that they really have to find a way to let go of before it destroys them, and it can.
Well, you know, that's a shame because I brought him up to doing dream interpretations and so forth and so on, but he's turned his back on a lot of that.
But, you know, see, here's the thing. Yes, you brought him up to do that. Maybe that he wasn't ready for that, or maybe it scared him, or whatever reason. That's why I'm saying he has his own willpower here. There's a part of him that's very much afraid of what he sees within himself.
Oh, yes.
And because of that, he's willing to shut it down and turn his back on it, which what he is doing is shutting down half of his whole entire soul, and he doesn't realize that, okay? But he thinks he's doing it the right way because then he doesn't have to see or feel, and that's the part that he has to wake up again.
Yep.
And that's
yeah, I have to agree with you.
That's what this letter could do for him if he does it. The letter is not a cure-all. It is, for everybody who is listening, it is not a cure-all. You still have to do your part, but you have to be honest about what your part is.
And absolutely.
That's what this letter is all about is to bring out finally the truth and letting go of all the past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt, even when it's about yourself.
Yes, yes. You know, the hardest person to forgive in some ways is yourself.
That's right.
You really do. You have to forgive yourself before you can move forward.
Yep.
Again, it's like loving yourself. You cannot love someone else until you forgive yourself.
Right.
Well, I think we've come to the end.
Well, I think that's a call that just came in.
Is it a call?
So let's ask.
No? Hello? No, I think that's our say hey or farewell.
All right. Well, I thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. I am so looking forward to talking to you again.
Well, we'll do that because I want to know about your technique and then I'll tell you some of mine.
Okay, and we can certainly work together and cure the world between us. How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Good night. And thank you all. And listen again next week. Good night and God bless. Bye-bye.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.